I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Ian Lee. Thank you so much for downloading Ian Lee's Random Access Memories, a retro gaming podcast. Do check out the Patreon, patreon.com/IanLee, IAINLEE. And also go to my YouTube channel and look for the Random Access Memories there. Again, it's youtube.com/IanLee. Thanks for downloading.
Do you know who Stuart Ashen is?
Now I know the name, but I can't think who it is.
Right. He's a YouTuber who has been in the game for I think it's nearly 15 years or something like that. I mean, it's certainly like one of the longest running.
Are we in the podcast yet, or is this private?
If we want to be. I mean, I'm about to talk about microphone issues, so
let's talk about okay, microphone sure. issues. Okay, we're sure. in. Actually, let me just say, first of all, this is Elliot. The Retro Future is your YouTube channel, but we're in the middle of a story as you join us, dear listener. Go on, carry on.
So, yeah, just before we started the podcast, we were checking that microphones were recording, and it just reminded me of a very funny story, because you were explaining a story that you experienced in radio,
I
was
did.
It?
I recorded an interview for the radio, and I didn't have the other person's microphone. Yeah. It wasted an entire afternoon.
And I was just going to explain that kind of happened to me as well, and it was a really funny story. Not so funny, but also kind of funny. I got the opportunity to meet, this was about 5 years ago when I'd kind of just started YouTube and it started growing into something. There used to be this building in this place that YouTubers could go to if they had 10,000 subscribers in London in the Google office in St. Pancras International.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was a really great thing, and they've stopped it now because everybody has 10,000 subscribers nowadays because it's really easy to get to with the Shorts algorithm and stuff. And so I had the opportunity to meet at the time, and still, one of my favorite YouTubers of all time, Stuart Ashen. And we're really good friends now as well, which is cool because, we get along really well. We've been friends for probably like 3 or 4 years. I mean, it's been great. He's been a huge help to my channel and also just like as a mentor and stuff. So got the opportunity to meet him, went into St. Pancras, from Jersey as well. I'd flown over and we go to the YouTube space because it was the first place we were meeting and it was a mutual sort of safe ground, and I could have been a crazy fan.
Yeah.
And I was, but just not that crazy. I got the opportunity to record a bit of us meeting. I asked him if he wouldn't mind having a little chat, and got back home, listened to the clip, and it is literally just like, and then he'll just go like, and all of the audio was just completely like almost useless, and I just cranked it all up so all the background noise is just like all over the place. I was doing this on like Windows Movie Maker, so it's very, very restricted. Put the video out, and all of the comments are just obviously about the audio, and it was just like, I know, okay, god damn it, I forgot to check that everything was okay. And
always check everything. Always. I should let's introduce you properly. So you are a YouTuber. The Retro Future is you're saying you've got more than one show, because I've been watching The Retro Future, which is a joy. Let's talk about that one first, which is a joy. Basically, the ones I've seen, it's you buying a load of old tat from Japan and it coming, and it's not tat, that's harsh. And it's these beautiful, some of them are beautiful consoles, some of them are in a terrible, terrible state when they come through. But it's so exciting as a retro fan, as a 50-year-old geek, as a fan of Japan. I just went there this summer with my kids.
Oh, great.
It's wonderful seeing all of this stuff come out, but also hearing your delight as you open the boxes and you see what's in there.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, well, unboxing stuff is always exciting. And it kind of came like in a really natural, unexpected way that the unboxings of Japan stuff turned into its own thing on my channel, because I was obviously just ordering it all in from all over the world to make my videos. And then a company reached out to me in Japan that does like sort of proxy service where you can like buy and their name is Sendico. You can bid on things from, sorry, not buy. What's it called? What's that one called? The huge one.
I've used basically it's difficult to order stuff from Japanese Japanese eBay. Yeah. So you order something and it gets stored in a warehouse. And then when you've got enough, you hit the trigger button and it gets sent over.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just was filming that too. And then people really enjoyed it. But the problem with that is, with YouTube in the way that it is, I had to call the first one like unboxing $1,000 of Game Boys, because that's a really like, what the hell, who's doing that and why are they doing that? And then the next one is like, the next one can't be unboxing $250, because the way that YouTube is like, that would just be an inferior video, so it would just not do as well. So then I had to keep up in the game, so it'd be like crazy amounts of money on Game Boys for these unboxing videos, and the money was just not recoverable at all. It was just a terrible idea. But ordering stuff, I unbox stuff, I review stuff, I repair stuff.
Yeah, the repairs are great.
You were saying about the restorations, and I probably am one of the only people that gets excited about seeing dirt and grime, because I know that that's going to be a satisfying thing to clean.
It's beautiful. I saw you, I watched a few, and I watched you repairing... is it the Game Boy Mini? What's that?
Micro.
Game Boy Micro. Taking that apart, putting on a fake case. Oh, it was it's so cathartic and relaxing just to watch you doing that. And then the pleasure that you have when it's done and you realise you've done a good thing and made something beautiful again.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously grew up with these items, you know, the Game Boy and the DS and stuff. And so I guess like I kind of have a bit of I want to kind of do what's right by these items and how important they were to me in my life. And so when you see them in terrible condition and they're really not that complicated to work on, so the electronics are just so well made and so simple that most of the time the board can just be saved by just wiping it down with a toothbrush. But then the plastic is a handheld item. It gets so gross. And so just scrubbing that off, painting it if it needs it, bleaching some of the plastic if it needs it. And the video is obviously very aesthetic, and I think that's where people enjoy it.
I have been cool twice in my life to my kids. My kids are nearly 12 and 14. I've been cool twice. Once was when I did I'm a Celebrity about 5 or 6 years ago.
That is very cool.
It is very cool. The second time was when Ryan Reynolds replied to one of my tweets. And the third
time... That's really
time,
cool. That's really
that was
cool.
Great. I was over the moon. The third time was when I said, you are coming. I said, oh, there's a YouTuber coming on the podcast. Oh, who is it? It's the Retro... What? Elliot? I said, yeah. Wait, he wants to come on your show? I said, yeah. They were blown away because they are aware of you. They are fans of yours. Also, there is the connection with Mr. Beast. They go, but he's done videos with Mr. Beast. Why would he want to go and talk to you? What's it like having fans like that who proper excited about you and your stuff?
I mean, I have to say that is all very kind and very, very lovely. And a big hello to your children. And thank you to them for watching my videos. But that is a very uncommon scenario.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I will say I get recognized in town probably like twice a month or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's just because Brighton's got a lot of young people and also YouTubers, so people are kind of always on the eye out and keep their eye out and stuff. And it's, so it's quite uncommon. However, that being said, I have been, for some reason, somehow recognised in Japan, in New York, and in France. but it is very much like once or twice a month. And the blessing of it is that everybody who I have met has always been really amazing and really interesting and really cool. And because my channel's not that big, I mean, I'm not Mr. Beast and I'm not other huge YouTubers. I'm just like a size that is like kind of respectable, and they can see my hard work from the amount of videos that I've made. And so when I meet them, it's just this mutual like respect rather than kind of ego and then like,
yeah,
obsession. It's not like that, you know.
But your channel's good. You've got big numbers.
I mean, big in the retro niche.
Right.
I would say it's uncommon for YouTubers in like this retro niche, with a few exceptions of massive YouTubers that delve in every now and again. 100,000 views or more is like really in the sort of top 20 channels of retro gaming and stuff like that. And I'm kind of just like on or below that line. So my channel is like quite big in that sense, but in the wider spaces, it's very small.
I am a big, I'm banging about Mr. Beast the whole time. I'm a big fan of Carl, of his entourage. I love Carl, and that video of you, I think you build a PC
that
in an Xbox
case.
That is
crazy you know about that, because that video didn't really do that well, so that's awesome.
I'm a big Carl fan, and that video is beautiful. You build this wonderful, gorgeous thing for him. And again, the thing I like about you, a lot of the YouTubers, right, is the ones I seek out and my kids point me in the direction of is where it's joy and laughter and happiness. And his face when he gets that machine, it's just stuff like that is magic.
You know, Carl is a big nerd, and so he genuinely has like a nerdy energy about him and his obsessions and stuff. There, I mean, he loves like anime and manga and cartoons, and you know, even in his house, he's got like a VHS player set up. He's got an N64. He's got I think he's got like a GameCube and a Wii, and just everything just out for him to use regularly.
Yeah,
I mean, he is genuinely a big nerd. So to get asked to do a project like that from someone who really cares about this kind of stuff, and someone who is obviously hugely influential, it's such a complete blessing and honor. And those sorts of things I've been very blessed with in my career, to have those opportunities, you know.
We'll talk more about your career in a second. We should probably talk about the game that you have brought today. Every week I ask a guest to bring a retro game. I leave the term retro very vague, open to interpretation. Yours is a Game Boy game.
Can I just rudely interrupt you?
Yeah, go on.
Can you also hear that beeping?
That's my dishwasher. let me go. Let me go and stop it.
I just wanted, it felt like we needed to acknowledge it, because it's been like, it just kept happening, and I was like, is that happening? Is that me?
We should probably start the whole thing again. I was hoping that no one could notice it. I thought, there we go. That's
Wait, you think we're going to have to do the whole thing again?
No, of course we're not going to do the whole thing again. My standards are significantly lower than yours, Elliot.
Okay. Also, I just have to say for a minute, because you started that segment off about how you've only been cool 3 times to your kids.
Yes.
But you've had a very successful career in TV and in radio, and now in your podcast and on streaming and stuff. And so it's also a big honor to me to meet someone like yourself.
Wow.
And I'm certainly in a different sort of space to you. You've gone down conventional routes, and now you are doing this completely off of your own back, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm that sort of like new media era kind of weird person who just grew up with their face glued to a screen. But yeah, make sure you keep yourself regarded highly. You know, highly.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And we'll go to the game in a second because now you've set me off on a tangent. Because there are a lot. I'm 50, and there are a lot of people my age, a lot of parents, who think that YouTube and YouTubers are not a real. It's not a real thing.
It's really not.
But it is in the fact that people some YouTubers are famous. You make a living out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, yeah, I mean, there's so many levels to it though, because YouTube is not like a conventional career in the sense that if you do 5 years in YouTube and then you have to go back out into the real world, whilst you've got some experience in lots of different things, you're not a professional at anything. And nowadays you can make YouTube videos just with your phone talking to a screen. So you're not necessarily going to be a professional videographer and editor. And so it's a very scary career in a way, because you're spending a lot of time with an opportunity that is fantastic, but doesn't give you a great sense of security. And I certainly haven't earned money that is going to not mean that I'll have to work for the rest of my life. The day YouTube ends, I'm looking for a job. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's kind of a weird one. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about it just being like, well, that's it, you're a millionaire suddenly and you don't have to work again, you know?
How often do you have to... My boys, when they were a bit younger, were big fans of Dennis Daly. And we were watching, and he stopped doing YouTube for quite a long time because he was depressed. He was struggling with it. The relentlessness he was having to play Roblox because that's what his audience wanted. And he didn't want to play that anymore.
Good grief.
Yeah, I know. And he came back. He came back after about 4 or 5 months away and did this amazing video. I watched it with my kids and it was great because we could have a chat about it, about how the push for him to deliver videos was relentless, and how he was doing stuff and he wasn't happy doing it, but he felt he had to keep doing it because if he stopped, the audience would disappear. It was incredible, really incredible. And it opened up a really important conversation between me and my kids about mental health and about doing stuff, if you can, that makes you happy. I'm wondering, what is the pressure like for you? How often are you doing videos? Do you feel you can take a break if you need to?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know his specific circumstances and how often he uploaded. But certainly, I mean, I have elements of pressure put on myself from the fact that YouTube is very relentless. I mean, I certainly understand that if I stop tomorrow, it goes downhill until, as I said, yeah, I need to look for a job. You know, it's rare that videos can just... in the videos from the past can just suddenly get a second wave later on. I mean, that it is possible and it does happen, and it probably equates to, 5 to 10% of my monthly earnings. That also would slowly peak, you know, kind of fall off if I stopped uploading. So yeah, there's a lot of pressure, but I'm very lucky in that I don't have any sort of daily upload schedule that would definitely cause someone to go absolutely insane. I can upload once or twice a week, 3 times a week, once a week, 4 times a week. I can do sort of like, I'm free to do pretty much anything because my lifestyle doesn't require a huge amount of money. And so I don't have to be so like money focused on it, which is because I renovated a house and got quite lucky with that to buy the next house and not have to pay so much every month on mortgages and rent and all the rest of it. So that gives me a lot of freedom. And that was my goal in YouTube, was to get to that point. So that then I can just upload because I love it and I want to, rather than upload because I have to. And I know a lot of YouTubers upload because they have to. And if you end up wanting to do something different on YouTube, to then shift your content into that is very tricky. And it can work, but it's often met with immediate sort of failure because the algorithm doesn't like it. Your audience is used to a certain type of content. And then to continue to push through that, to get to a point where you're getting a new audience based off of that subject, or some of your audience from your previous content is converting into liking your new content. But that's very uncommon that works. And so often what happens is people are then cornered into uploading a certain type of content. And if they, on a day-to-day basis, are not wanting to play that, knowing that they've got the next, you know, 7 days of work every single week to constantly be keep playing this game, that can inevitably cause people to just completely burn out, like completely and utterly burn out. And no one puts that pressure on you other than your own mind. And some people are so business focused and career focused that they forget that it's not a sustainable thing. And so they take the opportunity because they're working hard, and then they work harder, and then their business is growing, their money is increasing. And then they suddenly are getting caught up on the fact, you know, catching up to them is that mental health that they need to be taken care of. And so YouTube is something that you have to respect in that sense, for sure.
Is it just you? Have you got a team? Do you have editors?
It's just me. Yeah. Sorry if that discussion went on for a while. It's something I'm very passionate about, because I've been doing YouTube for nearly 6 years, and I have to really consciously consider my mental health in YouTube. Not that I struggle with it as such, but just in that burnout is so real for a creative person, to be forced to be artistic all the time.
And that's why I then went on, you know, to ask about whether you have a team, because I know a lot of the bigger YouTubers have teams. So you're doing everything.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I don't have a team. I wouldn't be able to afford someone's salary. And then I would be able to afford maybe editing, but some of the editing that tech channels do, especially tech in the sense of like repairs, that only so many people would be able to edit that sort of content, because they might not know what is even happening. And you might be the only, you know, it's often I edit videos and then do a voiceover afterwards to make everything that I've done make sense. I could be the only person to do that. I mean, it would just be insane to train someone to edit that. And I also don't make that many videos, and so editing is just a part of the job, and it doesn't take up all of my time. And especially like the Japan ones, I would not want anyone else editing that. That is like sit down, cup of tea, 2 to 3 days of just finding great music, looking through great clips, and then creating this like little mini documentary about my time in Japan. I wouldn't want anyone else to edit that, and I couldn't afford a cameraman. I couldn't, you know, it's not that big. I mean, my channel's big in some senses, but you know, I wouldn't be earning two people's salaries and it being profitable, you know.
So what, we will talk about the game in a minute, I promise. So how do you look after your mental health? And you're obviously aware of what YouTube is, what that machine is, and you respect that. But how, if you're doing all of this on your own, how do you keep yourself sane and well?
Well, sane is a strong word.
That's true.
I would say, you know, YouTube is a very isolating job, okay? Mm. But luckily, I'm quite antisocial, so that's great. It just means I can just like stay in my room, play with my nerdy toys, and just get the camera out and start talking to my nerdy audience. It's fantastic. Obviously, I did say that burnout is real and that can happen. But the YouTube is isolating until you start making more YouTube friends. And then when you make really good YouTube friends, you know, they understand everything so well, and they look out for your best interests all the time. You know, I've got several YouTube friends who regularly reach out to me, and I talk to them, and we both vent to each other. We can both give advice to each other. It's not a friendship based on doing collaborations as well, which can sometimes lead to a lot of difficulty for a lot of YouTubers. They're all in different spaces to me, and it just means that you can essentially like help each other in the mental health department, because good friendships are like that anyway, but they all understand it so well.
So
I'd say like that, really. And also just I have other interests that I don't film, and that I can keep that for myself, and not feel like I'm just giving myself to the internet. And I don't ever talk publicly about my private life. I did do that to begin with when I was young and naive, and Google search results shows that I made mistakes in the talking publicly about my life department. And so I reserve a lot of things to myself. People only know me of my YouTube. What you see on YouTube is all you can know about me, and that's about 10% of who I am.
Trip World on the Game Boy.
Oh, what a segue.
We had to get in there at some point. There was a pause for breath.
Let me grab it.
Now, I had not heard of this game, and I looked it up, and it's one of the rarest games. Look at that. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is a lovely little thing. I mean, Trip World is, I would say it's up there with probably being in the top 10 most expensive games for the Game Boy, but that has to be prefaced with the fact that, with a few exceptions, that means $100 or £100, you know? So it's not the rarest. It's not that expensive and rare. It's just also Game Boy games now. I mean, Pokemon's £40, which is crazy. But it's weird because like the top end of the price of rare things on Game Boys and the rare Game Boys and stuff like that hasn't really gone really high. It's just the lower end of stuff, like the actual price of a Game Boy and the price of Pokemon, which is the only two things that most people care about. Those are now well expensive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're not rich if you have, like, you're not like mega wealthy if you have a boxed Game Boy in your cupboard. They're just like a price that reflects their desirability, which is,
I remember when you could go in a shop, you could get Game Boys for like 15 quid because no one wanted them. There's always that thing with tech. Everyone wants it, no one wants it. Oh, it's retro and no one's looked after them.
Well that is so depressing when you think about it. Imagine just quick hop in the TARDIS, go back to HMV or wherever, and just or Blockbuster Video, and just loading up the boxes of unboxed Pokemon games. Because if you are someone who just happens to own a Pokemon game that was never opened for the Game Boy, which is a very select few people, those sorts of things have like £4,000 or £5,000 price tags associated with them.
Wow.
In certain circumstances, they have to be really good condition and stuff like that. So it's crazy if like a shop just had, like, I always imagine, what if I was allowed to go to the back of a tech shop and then just look in the behind the door that says like discontinued, and then you just find boxes of brand new sealed stuff from the 2000s. That would be crazy.
But that was always the way with toys, is, you know, like I was born 1973, and as early as the early 90s, unopened Star Wars figures from, I don't know, 78, whenever it came out, were worth money. And that's always been the way. And I remember getting some toys as a kid, and my parents saying, well, you should keep that in the box, that'd be worth something. No, I want to rip the box open and play with these things. Yeah. That's what these things are made for, is to be opened and handled. And those old cartridges are tactile. You feel them. You click them in. They're meant to be played.
What games did you what games did you play with?
Well, I'm a lot older than you, so I grew up with like the BBC Micro and the ZX Spectrum.
I've heard of them.
Thank you, young man. So I play, what games did I play?
What, isn't back the then, Rubber Keys the ZX Spectrum?
That's the ZX Spectrum, is the Rubber Keys. I didn't have a Spectrum. We got a BBC because it was educational.
And that's the one with tapes, right?
That was cassettes, yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
It was crazy, and it would take 5-6 minutes for a game to load. But I played, there was a game called
Elite.
Was
there like one TV in the town? Like,
shut up, you. No, but we had two TVs in the house, but one of them was a black and white portable that lived in mum and dad's room.
That's so you would sick. Have, that's really
it's
cool.
Wild, right? So you'd have to shout, Mum, can I use the black and white? Yes, you can. Yeah. And you set it up, and that was it. And you'd plug it in the back, and you'd have to tune it in. Those were the days. No, the handhelds we had with those little one game things, like I had a thing called Mini Munch Man or Astro Wars.
Like stuff like that. The little Game & Watches, basically. But
Yeah, Game & Watches, yeah.
Because there was some that before that were like little tiny, like, almost like, what's that? Like filament bulb kind of, mini tiny little filament kind of
There was
screens.
A driving game that someone had that was one of those at school that I was deeply envious of.
I'm from that era where like me and my brother only had one laptop to share, and so we would argue and my mum would have to like dictate the time that we could play it on. I know, well, it was, I mean, I grew up...
Tough like, times.
I know, yeah. I grew up in... tell me about... These are the stories we need to talk about, you know? Like one whole... really expensive laptop to share as a child to play Minecraft. Like that's the real problems in the world. I grew up in the early 2000s, so I was born in 98, and so I started remembering things probably at like 2008 or something like that. I remember writing like 2010 in my textbook at school. That's how I kind of remember time as a kid. We had things like Bop It, that was huge. Like Bop It was massive.
Bop It's fun.
Yeah.
Pass the sausage.
We had those like, did you have those like, they were just stilts, two buckets, bit of string?
What?
Stilts.
Oh, the buckets that you stood on. Yeah, of course.
When I went to school, that like we would get, there would be like this guy that just walked around with a bag of like playground toys. And you'd have to like share, like you'd have to take it in turns to like use them and stuff. And yeah, great times. I wasn't really a massive like gamer really growing up as a kid.
Well, how, cause I wasn't going to ask your age cause I'm not implied, but you've given it away. I missed out on the game. I got bored of computer games for a bit. And then one day I saw the Sega Saturn and went, oh my God, games have got amazing.
Yeah.
But how come you were into the Game Boy? Because that was like early 90s, wasn't it? Mid 90s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so that's the thing. Like, that's why I don't really say that I'm like a gamer. I'm not a gamer really at all. It's kind of weird. Right. I'm not like a computer gamer. I play like a little bit of computer games with some friends sometimes, but
yeah.
I'm not like an Xbox. I don't play Xbox. I don't really play Switch. Like I played Switch when Link's Awakening remake came out. You know, I'm just not really a massive gamer. Like I grew up at the skate park and I grew up in Jersey, so I spent a lot of time surfing and on the sand dunes running around and so the Game Boy though was the one thing in my life that me and my brother grew up with that just stayed there throughout. You know, we always had a Game Boy, then we always had a DS, then we always had a DSi and a 3DS, because that was like, you know, Super Mario, that was a big part of our life. So the Game Boy Advance SP was my first one, but my brother had a Game Boy Advance, and that was probably like 2004 2005. So there's this photo of me on my Instagram about like me as a kid playing with a Game Boy on a sofa somewhere in the world. Can you see?
Oh, look at that.
Oh, there you go.
Look at that. Look how intently you are staring at the screen. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And I still have that Game Boy. I still have that exact one. I actually like for a video recently repaired it and like put it back to original again, and because I had doodled like loads of stuff on the top of the Game Boy, and then when I went through a phase of like why the hell would I want that, I'd put like some awful aftermarket Zelda shell on it, and then later on in 5-6 years later I'm like, well obviously it needs to be as it was, so I put that doodled shell back together in the video, and that was a really special video because I did like a little like a mini documentary about how crazy the journey's been to get from that photo to like it being my full-time job. I mean, it's so weird. What the hell happened?
We've only got a few minutes left. We really should talk about this game.
I'm terrible with podcasts. I literally just waffle forever. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I love it. I know. I love it. I love it. I love it. The whole point of this is the game is kind of just like the way in. Okay. Everything else is what it is about.
You just need to tell me to shut up. Just be like, okay, back to the important stuff, Elliot.
I would never do that. I'm enjoying this too much.
Okay. Good.
Why Trip World? Did you play it as a kid?
No.
Thanks very much for joining me, Elliot.
I just now I'm going the other way where I want to keep everything one word. No, Trip World Trip World was like a really like famous game in the Game Boy world because it's expensive. And so then when I started needing to buy those things to make videos, I looked out for a copy of it and eventually found one. And what draws me to Trip World is that it pretty much perfectly encapsulates everything about gaming that we have lost.
Right.
You know, like, you just plug it in, the game just starts. There's no, like, there's no waffle. There's just, like, there's maybe a little bit of text, but it's like keeping it short and sweet. There's not like 3-4 minute cuts where they're just like acting. Like,
yeah,
it just gets straight into a game that you don't have to know anything about, and all you're doing is just like jumping around. And it's just like, I love that about games that from the past, you know, like Tetris. I don't want to fully immerse myself for hours into a game because I unfortunately don't have the time to do that right now in life. And so I just want a game that I can just pick up, turn on, play, enjoy. And Trip World for me is a really unique way of doing that.
I remember I tried Red Dead Redemption 2 and I found it so boring.
Yeah.
And someone said to me, No, stick with it. It gets good after 8 hours.
I know, but that's the thing with like Breaking Bad. It's like, dude, I don't want to watch like 4 seasons of backstory to get to the, you know, it's just,
yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it's just too much. I mean, it's not too much for everyone because my God, games are probably one of the most popular things. Like, it's got to be one of the most popular things in the world, just the games.
Yeah.
And so some people are obviously love the full on experience, like the full. You see those people on like online who have like a car in their room for their like 4-screen car setup, and it's like that guy clearly wants games. Like, I just want like a little bit of game.
Yeah,
you know?
I do like I like something you can switch on. You play it for 20 minutes. I lied. I have been cool for my kids again. They think I'm brilliant at Pac-Man. I can get to the 4th screen, but to them, that's like...
That is,
whoa.
To be fair, mate, that's pretty
good.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad, is it? But stuff like that where my eldest has got one of those quarter-sized Pac-Man cabs in his room where you can turn it on and you can go, right, I'm just going to spend 10 minutes and I'm going to have a little go at this. And that's it. And I did have a go.
Did you say someone likes Pac-Man?
Yeah.
Let me grab something.
Okay. This is very exciting. Oh, I've got to give a shout out to my Patreons in a bit.
Weirdly, I have lost the Pac-Man one, but it is in this house somewhere.
What did you have?
But I recently got sent like these, and inside is like a tiny little game.
Whoa! So hang on, you're holding up what looks like a small little tin.
It's like an Altoids tin.
And here's an Altoids tin. It took me a second to get that. And inside there's a game.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I got sent this by... It's the weirdest story ever. I'll keep it short and sweet. I wanted to buy a motorbike. Went to this guy's house to collect the motorbike. In his garage, he had a slush puppy machine. I was like, what's going on there? And he said, I own a toy company. And I said, like, when you mean own, you mean like you actually manufacture them? And he's like, oh, yeah, I make them. I was like, what, your like inventions? And he was like, yeah, some of them. Turns out this guy, Fizz Creations,
yes.
Lovely, lovely guy. He just owns that company. And I was like, that's crazy. I'm a YouTuber. And he was telling me he has licenses to all of the like Tetris, Pac-Man, literally the license to Mega Drive, Sonic, all of these things. And the guy, his name's Lawrence, he sent me a box of like all of their range of toys.
Oh, I like Lawrence. I'll send you my address.
What
if you
a
want
lovely
it,
guy!
So that's brilliant.
Lawrence sent me, and they've been on my wash basket since I made the videos. This Tetris one and a Pac-Man one.
That is beautiful.
Give me your address, and I'll send them to you for your kids.
Oh man, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with them, but they've been sat on my wash basket.
Oh, they will be well loved.
I've got enough stuff. Look at this. Look at this crazy.
He's spinning the camera around.
Can you see?
Yeah.
These are all Game Boys, and then these are all boxes of Game Boys. I'm not even kidding.
I do work now as a counsellor, Elliot. So if you need someone, a professional to talk to, I'd be very, very happy to take you on as a client.
I'm too far gone.
It's been so lovely to meet you. Thank you so much.
What was your thoughts on Trip World?
It was really tough.
wait. Surely there's more to you. You have to, you must quickly, just 2 minutes.
I played it on emulator, so it's always a slightly different experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So it's a platformer. You can change into a fish and a bird, and you go around and you beat people up. And I really enjoyed it. And I thought for a Game Boy game as well, I didn't have much experience with the Game Boy. It looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Great game. Really great game.
I wouldn't pay $200 for it.
Well, luckily, I was going to say something that's maybe not like what incriminating. I won't say that, but yeah, unfortunately, the only way to obtain the games is legally by paying for them by the correct sources or the physical thing.
Well, there is a whole debate about digital preservation / piracy, which we won't go into now. So the Retro Future is the YouTube. There's the Retro Future 2 as well. Is that the other one?
Yeah, that's the other one is that's the URL. I don't know how you even spotted that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But my YouTube channel, my second channel, is called Elliot Cole, which is just my random stuff. I just make videos on everything and anything. I just uploaded a video about a motorbike I'm restoring.
Love it. So nice to meet you, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely to meet you too.
Time for me to thank my wonderful Patreons. I want to say hello and thank you to Craig, to Harsh, to Martin and to Sam, and of course, executive producer Matt Stanley Evans. Go and have a look at the Patreon if you want to get your name read out on the credits.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.